I'm grateful for our great staff here, and we have great men. And ask Brother Joseph tonight if he could speak and share some thoughts about how we can have a great 2025. And I appreciate him very much. He does so much around here. And so, Brother Joseph, why don't you come?
All right. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you for being here on an off night. You should have a handout, not a government handout, probably have less of those starting in 2025, but a handout nonetheless with the scripture in it for brevity. Help us to move things along. I watched the time, and the goal is to be out around 6 o'clock, and that's about 20 minutes from here, so I am aware of that. Pastor said take your time. I am driving up the mountain to teen camp tonight, so I have an incentive, Brother John, to get out of here as well. No, you don't come to church to get out of church, right? We come to church for church, so we'll have a good time here. Of course, with the new year upon us, many people, both in the secular and Christian world, look back on the year behind them, us, and consider how the year in front of us might be better. I didn't want to say this. Thanks for being here. Probably 100 people out at camp and good crowd for an off New Year's Eve service. Thank you for being here. Usher in the new year. Right. Many people believe this. They think that the things that will help them or the thing that will help them to have a good 2025 will be making New Year's resolutions. And Pastor mentioned this on Sunday. Great messages on Sunday. But he said, January 1st is generally where everybody's new diet kicks in, right? I'm going to cut the carbs, going to cut the sugar, going to cut the hot dogs, the soda, whatever it is. And then he said January 2nd is National Buffet Day, right? And that's when they go just about as quickly as they came. I looked up some funny New Year's resolutions that some people made, and I think some of us can relate with some of these. Y'all want to hear them? Yeah, all right. So the first one is called the gym, two words, less resolution. In the prior year, a man decided to work out more, and he did. He kept his commitment to go to the gym consistently and get in shape. But this year, he decided to go to the gym less because he said, I can't enjoy my couch in peace because of the guilt it now brings. And so some of us we can't relate with that because we've never felt the guilt of sitting on the couch. There's no guilt that it brings, right? Here's another one. I want to run a marathon this year. It called a snack marathoner. And his resolution was to run a marathon, but only if he could stop at 1 hour intervals and get a snack to refuel. Kind of defeats the purpose there. You're not going to make it to the end of the marathon there. Here's another one, the procrastination pro. Pastor, one thing I know, does not like procrastination. Very organized, get things done. If you're not going to get things done on time and how they ought to be done, let me know. I want to know, right? But this guy thought, I'm going to conquer procrastination. He said, he wrote a detailed resolution to procrastinate more efficiently. This is good. He planned to make a list of tasks, prioritize them, and then purposely procrastinate on them as much as possible. But I was thinking about this. If you keep your procrastinated deadlines, are you really procrastinating? Because you kept your deadlines anyways, right? So that wouldn't work. Here's another one. A social media detox resolution. One influencer decided that she was going to spend less time endlessly scrolling on social media. She was going to detox. And so she did this. She decided to stop endless scrolling on social media. She then began posting daily to tell everyone how much she enjoyed not being on social media by posting on all of her platforms daily how much she was enjoying that. Here's a good one. Pastor would like this one, the pizza diet. Y'all are sold already, right? Someone resolved to lose weight by eating more. Sounds like the keto diet to me, right? But only if it was pizza. They argue that if you eat enough pizza, at a certain point, your body would naturally have to burn it up to keep up, turning their love for pizza into a comedic diet plan. They even created a pizza loss challenge where participants had to eat as much pizza as possible while trying not to gain, but rather lose weight. So in keto, it's called what? You get ketosis? Is that what it is? So what this is, carbtosis? What is that, right? That's called diabetes. That's what that's called, right? Here's another one, the multitasking master. A person decided to be more productive by doing more things at once. And some people think if you multitask, you will get more. But the truth is, a lot of times you just mess things up and you're not as efficient in what you are doing. But their resolution included cooking dinner while answering emails. They also tried doing laundry while on a video call and even multitasking while walking the dog. Their daily life became a comical circus of multitasking mishaps, including one memorable incident where they accidentally added shampoo to the pasta. And so that wouldn't work out. Jonathan Edwards, if you've ever seen, he wrote, Brother Al, you probably, I don't know, you read some of the older guys and listen to them, but he wrote 72, I agree with 70 of them, really, really good New Year's resolutions. And he wrote them over a course of 3 years, really challenging, convicting. Most of them had to do with a little bit of what we'll talk about in the next 15 minutes or so about eternity. But these two, maybe we cannot relate with. Here's one of his. He said, I am resolved to inquire every night before I go to bed whether I have acted in the best way I possibly could with respect to eating and drinking. That's a good one. Imagine if every day we paused at the end of the day and considered if we could have done better with our eating and drinking. Man, that would change some things. Resolves another one to maintain the strictest temperance in eating and drinking. I don't know about you, but 2024 seems like it was here and gone in a blink. Now, I'm not old, but I do see 40 approaching very, very quickly here. Most of the people I hang out with are already there or past there. And I know this. The older I get, the older my kids get, the more I realize how fast life flies by. I was talking to somebody at our Christmas dinner, and he's in his 70s now. He said, hey, bro, he said, 40 to 70 flies by. It's here, and then it's gone. With this realization, we would do best. We have a new opportunity before us in just a few hours. A brand new year, 2025. And as God's people, with the realization of the brevity of life, I think we would do well to ask and consider, how can I have a better 2025? How can I have a great year ahead? And as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark. What's the mark? It's eternity. What's the mark? The judgment seat of Christ. What's the mark? God's will for my life. What's the mark? More souls. What's the mark? More time in God's word. What's the mark? More involved in my church. What's the mark? All that God has offered for us, but we got to press toward that mark in 2025. Let's consider why, in introduction, we ought to consider the year behind us and the one in front of us. First of all, you have it here in your notes. I'm going to go through this quickly. First of all, letter A, because the fact that life is so short. Look what the scripture says about the brevity of this life. Psalm 39:5, he says, behold, thou hast made mine days as a handbreadth. In God's mind, on a chart, a chronological chart, our entire life is right there. Just a handbreadth. He said, mine age is as nothing before thee. Look at Psalm 89:47. He says, remember how short my time is. Psalm 39, verse 4, it says, Lord, help me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is, why? That I may know how frail I am. Pastor, I remember in the early days of the church, there was a bunch of teenagers and singles. Almost no one got sick, cancer, surgery. It was almost nothing. Right? And as our church gets a little bit older, the reality of life and the fact that this life is brief and it's frail sets in. Job 9:25, excuse me, says, now my days are swifter than a post, they flee away. Letter A, life is short, but letter B, our brief life should be lived doing God's will. I hope that's your desire for the new year. I hope that was our aim this past year, but even more so as 2025 is upon us, to do God's will with our lives, our families, and at Pacific Baptist Church. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this. It says, teach us to number our days. But why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. James 4, 14 and 15, this was going to be the text verse before I added all the other ones. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow. Pastor preached a great message. I remember this one, Pastor, on this last phrase here. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And you preached on this phrase, I remember it well. For that ye ought to say, when we understand that our life is a vapor, then we ought to say, here it is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Letter C, not just we ought to realize life is short, not just that we ought to do God's will with this brief life, but letter C, this life on earth must be lived in anticipation for the next one in heaven. 1 Peter 1:17 says this, past the time of your sojourning, I'm watching the clock, it says we have 10 minutes left. Don't worry. You say, Pastor always does the calculations. Okay, you got 10 godly goals for the new year. You got 10 minutes left. That gives me 45 seconds per point. Watch. Don't try us. We'll get this. 1 Peter 1:17, he says, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. He says, we are just sojourners. This world is not my home. What? I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm going somewhere else. 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because we're going to stand before Christ one day and give account of our lives. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, which we are spiritually if we're saved, seek those things which are what? Which are what? Which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then he goes on to say, set your affection, that's singular, not affections, your singular affection should be set on things above and not on things on the earth. And as we consider these thoughts and get into the 10 godly goals, let's determine with 2025 upon us to live our lives on purpose and with a purpose for God's glory, for our good, and for the good of those around us. I want to challenge you. Hey, I know most of our young people are out, but if you're young still, if you're a teenager, if you're single, if you're a kid here today, the best years of your life are right in front of you. Live them on purpose, with purpose, for the glory of God. Middle-aged man or woman, looking back, you know where you are now. The last 10, 20, 30 years have flown. I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Brother Haynes or one of them recently. He said, when you're 10 years old, it seems like life is going 10 miles an hour. 20 years old, it's going 20 miles an hour. You get up to 40, you're starting to go pretty quick. And by the time you're past 40, it's kind of like that plane on that runway. You're not stopping, it's going. And the momentum's going fast. Middle-aged man or woman, looking back, you know how fast it flies. And from what I've heard, it only goes faster. Live life on purpose, with purpose, in 2025. Older saints, maybe you look ahead and you see that the sunset of your life is a little closer than it used to be. Jesus Christ only had 3 years left in his life when he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You still have years of your life. If you are sitting in this auditorium, God still has a purpose for you here in 2025. Parents, our time with our children is so limited. Let's rear our children with purpose, on purpose in 2025. Christian, our time is limited here. It's just like a vapor. Let's live our lives on purpose and with a purpose in 2025. Let's look at 10 quickly, briefly, 10 godly goals for the new year that I really think if we apply these things, if we have these as spiritual goals, we will have a great 2025 beginning tomorrow. Number one, how can I have a godly new year? Number one, what are some godly goals? To walk closer to God in 2025. Micah 6:8 says, you know what it says there? What doth he require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Look at Matthew 4:4. He answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, we could actually, Pastor, just go home on this one. Probably the theme of your preaching from the time you were a Sunday school teacher. My dad used to sit in the front row. He said he always got something from your preaching and there your teaching. The theme of your preaching, you all know it is, get in the book. Get in the book. I can counsel you, but get in the book. I can try to help solve your marriage, get in the book. I can try to help solve your problems, get in the book. Get in the book. Get in the book. You want to be victorious in 2025? Get in the book. You want to be the father that you ought to be? Get in the book. You want to be the wife and the mother that you ought to be? Get in the book. You want to make a difference here at our church, where you work, at home, in your own life, in the world around you? Get in the book. At Pacific Baptist Church, I know they say, oh, they're missions-minded. Oh, they're soul winners. Oh, they go out and reach the rest homes. Oh, they reach the bus ministry. And that's great, and I want to continue doing those things. But let them say, those are people of the book. Let's walk with God closer than we ever have in 2025. I'm all for great preaching, and we have great preaching. Thank God from our pastor and other pastors behind this pulpit. But that's not enough. We got to be people of the book by ourselves with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I better move. But I'll say this. When we pass out that Bible reading calendar, I want to challenge us. Let's get that Bible reading calendar. And when we come to this night at the end of 2025, let's look back and say, that was the sweetest year of my relationship with Jesus Christ. It will have been a good year without anything else we're going to say tonight. Number two, let's move quickly. Another godly goal would be to win more souls in 2025. Win more souls in 2025. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I don't know about you. It doesn't matter how long. When I think of good soul winners, I'll think Pastor, Brother Chim does a great job, Brother Gary, others that are really just good soul winners. But no matter who we are, we can do a little bit better. We can do a little bit better. Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, I am resolved to endeavor to my utmost to act as I should or as I would if I had already seen the happiness of heaven and the torments of hell. He said, I want to live my life from here going forward as a resolution that I would act towards the lost as if I have already seen the glory of heaven and the torment of hell. Thinking on eternity will help us to do just that. I'm thankful during the invitation time, Pastor, you see it. During invitation, you'll say, is there anybody that's not sure they're on their way to heaven? And so many of our people, I think of Miss Fabro, she's the one that's constantly first one up. Brother John Castle, so many of our people are looking around, ready to share the gospel. Thank you for being a soul-conscious church. Let's kick it up a notch in 2025. Let's carry tracks, let's beat our soul-winning times, and let's move on to number three. Number three, how can we have a better 2025? How about to steward our time, our talents, and our treasures well in 2025? God has given us all a limited amount of time, talents, and treasures. Let's use them for his glory in this coming year, and I'm going to move. Our time is fleeting. Let's steward it well. Our talents aren't forever. One day they're going to break down. Apply them well. And our treasures are temporal. Let's invest them well. Number four, let's move quickly. Number four, identify and minimize weights that hinder us, hinder our walk as we enter 2025. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, known very well. Wherefore, after talking about all the great people behind us, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Oh, talk to me. Every what? Every what? Lay aside every weight. Man, can you imagine if we, Pastor, I'm going to be honest here. There are some weights that I haven't laid aside. Let me be transparent here. My wife could tell you, there are some weights that I could probably lay aside. Not on my body. It's not much to lay aside there. But in life, the Bible says lay aside every weight. Can you imagine if God's people, every one of us, laid aside every weight, all the time and the talents and the treasures that could be put towards God's purposes and make a difference for the kingdom of Christ? What's a weight that bogged you down in 2024? Social media? TV and entertainment? Video games? Maybe a besetting sin? Procrastination? I know I should do it, but I'm just putting it off. Maybe it's work that's hindering you. And let's set those aside for a greater 2025. Next, number five. Number five. We can spend a long time on this one. This is a great goal, to have stronger godly homes in 2025. Come on now. If we have a spouse and we have children at home, let's make it a goal to have a godly home in 2025. I don't have time to develop this, but recently I was looking and I came to the passage in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 9. It talks about these valiant men who wield the bow and arrow, right? I'm not good at that. Even those cheap ones, I miss horribly. I don't know what it is. I think Ryan does that sometimes. But and it said here, if you look here, I have the passage here. It says, from thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return vain. And I was thinking, the Bible says that our children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. I don't want my children to go out from my home in vain, right? And so if that's going to happen, I'm going to have to become an arrow expert. My dad used to say it doesn't happen by osmosis. Parents, I want to encourage us, if we still have children at home, let's read and listen and pray and study and do all we can to become arrow experts so that we can pass to the next generation what's been given to us. My wife and I just started reading together. 520-something page book. Why? Because we have a baby and the infants, and we have one, you have two, Brother Chim, up at camp right now. We need help. We need all the help that we can get. Let's become experts as parents to the best of our ability. And it doesn't happen by osmosis, as my dad would say. And I'm going to move very quickly here. Number six. Oh, this is a good one. Get behind the vision and opportunities to serve at Pacific Baptist Church. Man, God's given us a great vision. Didn't we have a great 2024? Now, think of all, I thought I'd get a better amen than that. Didn't we have a great 2024? Man, almost every, thank you, Pastor. At least Pastor thought so. Almost every single week, the baptismal waters are stirred. It's not like that in many places. People saved almost every single week off this campus and on this campus. We grew like crazy. Every single Sunday school class, almost every single ministry grew. Man, that's good stuff. We have a great vision here. We have a great future here. As God's people, let's get behind it. Every opportunity that we have. Number seven, moving quickly. Feed your soul in 2025. Feed your soul. Hebrews chapter 11. I cannot help but read Hebrews chapter 11. Good biographies. Brother Al, on the ride to work, you listen to Tozer and Ravenhill, right? Sometimes for an hour, 2 hours at a time. You got to sit in the traffic. Might as well make the best you can of it. Man, it's hard to listen, it's hard not to be challenged and convicted listening to old men of the faith. They lived on another plane. There was no television. There was no social media. Many times it was them and God. I want to challenge us. You want to grow, you want to feed your soul, get around some men like that. Watch them, listen to them, read them. And of course, men of Scripture. Number eight, moving quickly. Identify areas of growth. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and ever. Amen. Pastor, I think it was at a winter camp. I remember you saying this, and my dad repeated it often. Pastor said, strength is knowing your weakness and getting help. I think that's what it was. True strength is knowing what I need to strengthen, where my weakness is, and getting help. Let's think. Is there an area where I could grow? As a father, I can grow. As a soul winner, I can grow. As a parent, I can grow. As a husband, no amens, Jen, I can grow, right? We can all grow. What areas can we grow in? And again, it doesn't happen by osmosis. What are we going to do? What resources are we going to get? What are we going to do to bring about that growth? Number nine, man, this is a good one. Again, this is a sermon in and of itself. How about to pursue holiness? Holiness in 2025. We live in an ungodly and unholy culture. It's all around us. If we're not careful, I'm amazed, Brother John. I have to be careful myself. I'm amazed how much cursing, and I mean the worst of them, is in the mainstream media, mainstream social media. It's everywhere. Just 10 years ago, it wasn't like that. And as God's people, that stuff shouldn't be constantly before my eyes. It definitely shouldn't be in my mind, and it dead sure shouldn't get down into my heart. Let's have a goal. No matter how ungodly and dark it gets out there, I'm going to keep it holy in here. Let's have a holy 2025. And then finally, number 10, and we're done. Be open to God radically calling you to further his kingdom in this world. What do you mean by that? I mean that there may be some of us in here that God would call you to another level of commitment to do something that you didn't currently do in the year before. Brother Jerry, I didn't ask for this, but I remember you were our original rest home teacher, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right? How long was it that you fought that thing before you finally told my dad yes? That's when you said yes, but how long had he been trying to get you to do it? Okay, so for a year, my dad came to him, and you know how my dad was. You know, he'd get on something, he'd ride that thing, and he'd strategically plant seeds there. Brother Jerry, senior citizen home, you know, Brother Jerry, Mr. Senior Citizen, and you know, he wasn't doing it yet, but he was going to do it because my dad was on it. He was going to let it go. The original, you were a little older when you started doing it. The original senior citizen home teacher, right? It doesn't matter who you are, what stage of life that you're in. God may just call you to do something greater for his kingdom in 2025. Be open to that. Be open. Look, God gave us a beautiful building. God's brought us to this point. I bet you there's more adult Sunday school teachers in our church that aren't teaching adult Sunday school class right now. Maybe you get that care group that you've been given and you love those people and you serve those people. And you say, I love doing this. And God might just expand that and you might just get a room in this church and you might be the next adult Sunday school teacher. Right? But I'm thrilled. Where's Brother Savani's right there? I thought you weren't going to be here tonight. I don't have time. I got to go. But he gave me, I was going to share a little more of his testimony. He can do this. Brother Savani had a great, and his family had a great job offer. I believe there's more missionaries here. Maybe more church planners. I mean, God has not, there's no way God's given us everything that he's given us here without having more full-time Christian servants and more lay people that will step it up and do more than what we're doing right now. I have it. Here's the contract, right? I won't hold, don't zoom in on it. I don't know if this is supposed to be shown. He was offered this past year, and as of this past year, I think he was planning on doing it, over $100,000 a year in a more conservative state, plus the package. But you know what? God started tugging at his heart. Amen. Started tugging at his heart. This is dated not too long ago. All he had to do was sign on that dotted line right there. It has his name on it, has a date, and his family would have been set up for a long time. But he thought, you know what? I would rather serve God's purposes in this world than make a whole lot of money. And Brother Savani and Miss Edgel, they're going to Restricted Access Nation as missionaries. Man, that's good stuff. I can't believe that God has not brought us to this point to see more of that. To see more of that. Let's ask, how can God maybe radically, maybe it's just one step, maybe it's a huge step, maybe it's a stride. Brother John, I was talking to one of our neighbors today. Every Friday night, you're a layman, you have a tile business, but every Friday night, you go out, you pick up a group of guys, bring them to church. Teach a Sunday school class, it's growing. Thank God for that. Mrs. Stein, and I don't want to start naming names. Mrs. Stein, where are you at? Got a bum shoulder right now. I'm up there about to baptize them with your shoulder. You're trying to reach down and help me get those waders on and whatnot. Man, talk about how many years, I'm not going to ask, how many years have you been doing that? Many, many years, probably a decade, decades now, right? You can't get away from it. Coffee and baptism. You say, what's the point? I really believe that God's going to take some of us that have been sitting faithfully, serving, and God's going to use us to a greater extent in 2025. Let's be open to that. Let's walk with God. We apply these goals. I really think we'll have a good 2025. Pastor, it's all yours. Thank you. Let's stand together and let's pray.